don't make anything anymore in the U.S. We hear that complaint a lot about what's wrong with the American economy. Here in South Florida, we've never been a manufacturing powerhouse, yet we do have industry here, from airplane parts to all-natural frozen cake batter. What do manufacturers need to grow their business and jobs here? I'm Tom Hudson, coming up on the Sunshine Economy, making manufacturing work in South Florida. National and state leaders regularly push for more manufacturing jobs, but local economic development agencies tend to focus efforts on other industries. Are they missing an opportunity? That's all ahead here on WLRN, the Sunshine Economy, making manufacturing work in South Florida. Welcome to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. The conversation is underway on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag The Sunshine Economy. So I was sitting on an aisle seat at 37,000 feet recently. Now, we had cleared a July thunderstorm over the Fort Lauderdale airport on our way up north. My four-and-a-half-year-old son had settled down thanks to the family's iPad and a pair of child-friendly headphones. So I forgot, though, to bring anything for me to read, figuring that I would be entertaining my youngest son for most of the flight. I was caught with some quiet time, no reading material, so I pulled open that pouch on the seat in front of me. I began thumbing through one of those in-flight magazines that airlines publish to subtly show how great airline travel is, especially when you get to one of the destinations it flies to. I'm not a magazine snob by any means, so I like these publications, and usually there's one article tucked inside like a piece of protein on a dessert menu. This particular magazine had an article about the renaissance of American manufacturing. It talked about, quote, a particularly American attitude that pairs innovation and belief in great ideas with boldness and determination. Now, it featured a lot of U.S.-made products. The wiffle ball, coming from Connecticut. Tabasco sauce, Avery Island, Louisiana. Several products from the Rust Belt made the list, like Zippo lighters from Pennsylvania. Gorilla Glue and KitchenAid stand mixers from Ohio. Maybe there's one of those in your kitchen right now. California was represented on this magazine's list of manufactured goods. Not by some high-tech wizardry, but by Maglite, a flashlight that all of us in South Florida ought to be familiar with, given storm season. Nothing from Florida on this list, certainly nothing from South Florida. But parts helping us stay up in the air may have come from here, or at least repaired here, from Hollywood. HEICO builds parts for large commercial aircrafts to military aircraft, from turbines to missiles. And Victor Mendelson is co-president of HEICO, and he joins us now on the Sunshine Economy. Victor, welcome to WLRN.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for a safe flight, by the way, if your folks happen to touch any of those parts keeping us aloft at 37,000 feet.
Chances are we had a lot of parts on that aircraft, and we probably also did some repair services and overhaul services on other systems.
So talk to us about that manufacturing presence that you have here in South Florida, and how folks may touch that in ways that they don't know.
Well, we do production and manufacturing predominantly in two locations in Dade and Broward counties. Up in Broward, we have a manufacturing facility, an engineering facility of about 140,000 square feet. And down in Miami-Dade County, we do repair and overhaul of accessory components for aircraft in facilities encompassing about 75,000 square feet west of Miami International Airport.
And how many local folks do you employ?
We don't break that out publicly, actually, but I can tell you that it's more than 100 and less than 1,000.
All right, so there's no comma in that number necessarily.
No. An interesting footnote on that, though, is the longevity of our team members. Our average team member participation at the company at this point is up around 10 years.
So they've been with HEICO for quite some time, and you've been with South Florida for quite some time. How have you seen the manufacturing environment and the manufacturing economy change here in South Florida through the years?
It's evolved a little bit. It's never been a strong part of our economy down here. We all know, I think, what drives the economy here.
Tourism and real estate.
Exactly. So manufacturing is not the driver, but it is important. And these are high-paying jobs that are filling important needs, both financially, but I think psychologically and intellectually.
And we're going to talk a lot more on this program about how politicians use manufacturing jobs as an economic metric. As a manufacturer based here in South Florida, why are those jobs important?
Well, just on a financial basis, they generally pay more, especially skilled manufacturing jobs, than service jobs. And they're not minimum wage positions. They generally offer serious benefits, especially, as I said, when we need skilled manufacturing talent. So in our case, we have an excellent and generous 401k plan. We have, of course, full health benefits here. And I think we pay very competitively on top of that.
Can you give us an idea of a median salary that you pay at HEICO?
I wouldn't offhand know the median salary, to be honest, but I would say in the manufacturing sector, you've got to really look at what goes into it beyond just the plant floor. So there's engineering, there's production engineering. If I were to guess, we're probably looking between that and the financial component that goes with it, meaning the accounting and other HR and administrative team members, probably north of $60,000.
Which makes the case of why leaders, certainly on the federal level and the state level, pay particular attention to manufacturing job retention and job growth.
Yes.
Do you feel, as a manufacturer in South Florida, that local officials appreciate that kind of payroll that you're talking about with HEICO?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. It's a little bit of a mixed bag. I think when we sit down with them, they certainly do, and they're very attentive to it. And some officials really get it. But because we're in the shadows, manufacturing is more in the shadows of our economy as opposed to being in the bright spotlight, it's sort of a little bit of out of sight, out of mind. And, of course, because most people who were raised here were not manufacturing, it's difficult to understand what goes into it. Until you walk through a plant, you spend time in it, you really don't know what the individual challenges are.
Victor Mendelson is the co-president of HEICO. This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Join the conversation on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Victor, you mentioned the local workforce, the size and your median pay. What about the ability to attract the kinds of skilled labor that an airline parts manufacturer and repair company needs? Because when you're keeping folks aloft at 37,000 feet, you want to make sure you've got the best kind of talent on the shop floor repairing those turbines.
It's a challenge. And again, we do two things. We manufacture factory new FAA-approved jet engine and other aircraft replacement parts, and we do repair and overhaul. We do that repair and overhaul at predominantly different locations. And the skilled machinists in the manufacturing process are really difficult to come by down here in South Florida. They're more plentiful in Chicago and other locales.
Traditional manufacturing bases that have a legacy of hard and, quite frankly, sometimes dirty manufacturing.
That's absolutely right. Fortunately, we're doing light and clean manufacturing, but that's absolutely correct. There are skilled machinists up in those traditional areas. So what we could use is more training here. We could use more recruitment, and we could use more assistance in technical and vocational schools.
Now, are you then reaching out to the education community? Is that a community college kind of thing? Is that a public university kind of training? Is that a private university type of system? Or is that also K-12?
I think it starts actually K-12, maybe not at the K level, but certainly at the high school level.
Yeah.
You think of schools like in New York City, Brooklyn Technical High School of Science, where they're teaching machining. My father, as a high school student, learned how to work a lathe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he doesn't today work a lathe, but he gets the principles behind it. But we could certainly use that sort of hands-on training. And we have the Baker School by Miami International Airport, which provides some power plant, which is the engine, basically, an aircraft, some power plant training and things of that sort. But I'm talking about more hardcore machining that's applicable and manufacturing that's applicable to many industries as opposed to just one.
Right, and here's the point to that. The question is, are there more manufacturers than HEICO that would benefit from the investment that it would take, the public investment that it would take for those kinds of public education programs locally?
I think there are a number of manufacturers, particularly smaller ones, that could benefit, but the effect of having skilled machining and skilled manufacturing, more than just skilled machining, will benefit by bringing companies here who would not otherwise come.
Now listen, Detroit just declared bankruptcy. Chicago just had its city credit rating downgraded. These are northern cities that some will argue are in decline or not. It seems like a company like Heiko in a location like South Florida could attract those skilled machinists to come down for open positions here.
I think it's gotten a little easier because of that. You've hit the nail on the head. But it's not always easy. You know, Miami in particular and South Florida has an image around the country as a little bit of a party city. We still suffer from this banana republic notion, which is really unfair. It is a great place to live, as you know. It's a great place to work, and it's overall a great place to do business. But we still fight that off.
You're somebody who has lived here since you were 15 months old, educated in Dade County. Your father is chairman of the company. Your brother is co-president, along with yourself. That image that Miami has, does it make business down here for a manufacturer that much more difficult to compete with those traditional Rust Belt areas within the United States?
I think it does for talent.
Does it make it more costly?
It does make it more costly, yes.
And what is your response then to local leaders as they look to diversify this economy away, perhaps, or in addition to the traditional focus on tourism and real estate?
Well, it's not going to be easy, but it takes a strong commitment to do it. So it can't be a start and stop effort. I think we've got some really great, as I call it, lay leadership, volunteers in the community. I think of like the Beacon Council, for example, and our general counsel, Joe Pallett, is now the chairman of the Beacon Council. One of our directors on our board of directors, Adolfo Enriquez, is a former chairman. And I think of the work that they do and the time that they spend on it. It's a lot of time, a lot of volunteer work. And they're one community, one goal initiative with I believe, the chamber.
And they've identified a number of different industries to try to focus on education. Manufacturing isn't included, though.
I didn't know that. I'm surprised, but I'd like to know and understand better why they feel that way. Maybe they feel that it's an industry that's past South Florida by to a certain degree, and they want to focus on tourism, real estate, and education.
Victor Mendelson, the co-president of Heiko. Let's talk about the business of Heiko. You, as we mentioned, are significantly involved in commercial aviation. The Boeing program continues to add new airlines almost each and every day. Lots of hundreds of new orders for Boeing 737s, not only in the United States, but globally. What do you see for that aerospace industry and the commercial side of things and the impact on Heiko locally?
On Heiko locally, it will mean more growth. The simple reality for us is more aircraft means more parts and should continue to propel us forward there. On Heiko more broadly, we have 45 manufacturing and production facilities located throughout the U.S. as well as in France, Canada, South Korea, and the U.K. And a small facility in India. So I think broadly where we produce parts for commercial aircraft, we're just going to be making more of them.
And then on the military side, of course, the sequestration did come into play in March. You are a defense contractor. In May, after reporting a record quarter of sales and profits for the entire company for Heiko, the company did acknowledge, quote, uncertainty surrounding the impact of governmental budget reductions has continued to soften the market for certain defense products and remained a contributing factor to the decline in sales for certain defense products, end quote. Does that impact your business here in South Florida?
Not much here in South Florida, actually. We don't do a lot of defense here. Defense is about 20% of our consolidated revenue. And if you look at that, not all of it's domestic. A good chunk of it, in fact, is for consumption outside the United States to allies.
And that's a key part that, in fact, other defense manufacturers have seen grow their business as the U.S. portion of their defense business has actually shrunk.
Yeah, that'll be somewhat of an offset. I mean, I think what we're looking at in total is probably between 2012 and the end of 2014, maybe somewhere around 10% reduction. So it's it affects us, but we're talking about 2, maybe 3% of HEICO's consolidated sales, offset, of course, by the growth we're experiencing in commercial and other
commercial
areas.
Side.
We expect to continue growing.
You did come off a record quarter, after all, when it comes to most of your economic metrics for you and all your stakeholders, including the local community. Victor Mendelson, the co-president of HEICO. Point of clarification, Victor, I will say that aviation is one of those industries that the Beacon Council wants to focus on, not manufacturing directly, but aviation is one of those mentioned.
And there is a lot of manufacturing in aviation. Thank you for clarifying.
As witnessed by the success of HEICO, Victor Mendelson, the co-president of HEICO, with us here on the Sunshine Economy. Still to come, a medical supply maker, CEO from Broward County, finds himself hostage in his own manufacturing plant in China, but he says making his products here in the U.S. would still be too expensive.
You know, we're a manufacturer that doesn't have manufacturing equipment right now. And we're a manufacturer that doesn't have product flow right now. You don't have product flow, you don't have cash flow. You don't have cash flow, you got big problems. And so that's the situation that we're in right now. So it's really two-party. Great, happy to be back. And now I'm sitting in a situation here in my office now going, what do we do? How do we solve the problem?
And this is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. The conversation on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag the Sunshine Economy. Well, it's one challenge to manufacture here in South Florida. For Chip Starnes of Coral Springs in Broward County, he had been going to China for 12 years to make medical supplies for his company, stuff like alcohol wipes and lancets. Those are devices that diabetics use to prick their fingers in order to measure blood sugar levels. Well, his last trip to China in June was quite different.
This next story is all you need to know about the Chinese economy, perhaps. An American businessman is being held hostage there by his own employees.
Chip Starnes, the co-founder of Florida-based Specialty Medical Supplies, has been speaking to reporters through the window of the plant.
So are you being held hostage now?
The answer is yes. Inside, every entrance and exit is barricaded. I can't go anywhere.
So are you being held against your will?
No doubt, yeah, 100%.
Do you ever think you'd be in this situation with so much experience in China?
No, absolutely not.
Starnes is at the center of a worker revolt, not uncommon for China, but rare for an American boss.
The South Florida businessman held hostage by his own workers in China is back home just after midnight when Chip Starnes returned to the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Airport.
After 6 days held captive at his own manufacturing plant in Beijing, Starnes was released and is back at his corporate office in an industrial park in Coral Springs. He's had some time to reflect now, but he says he is not rethinking his strategy of manufacturing overseas.
If you just look at the basics, like, you know, I hire a chemical, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, you know, and the pay scale difference between them and the capital needed to ramp and get this up and going, it's 10 to 12 times to one.
The U.S. and Florida just can't compete on those costs. And the reason Starnes was at his China plant in June was because labor costs there were getting too expensive for that part of the business that makes lancets. He was moving that part of the operation to India when rumors spread he was shutting down the entire factory. That wasn't true. But Starnes found himself negotiating with workers and then eventually the Chinese government over severance pay to workers he had not laid off and who he wanted to continue to employ.
It's almost better to show this in a movie. No one could even relate to this, is that, you know, 4:30 in the afternoon, not only was it just the workers, but then friends and family and neighbors. And by 10:30 at night, there was over 200 people in the executive wing and me. Then the government finally came in, and it was an all-night production, all the way to 7 o'clock the next morning, all night long, trying to tell me that this is what you need to do. Everybody needs to get paid because you're leaving. I said, well, we're not leaving. That's completely bad information that, you know, all of these people got. They need to get back to work.
What were you thinking about the decision to manufacture in China at that time? Was that even entering into your thoughts, or was it a matter of, you know, once I get out of here, I got to get out of here?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, we have a going concern there. You know, we have a lot of capital equipment there. We have a lot of investment there. And so at the same time, you know, we're trying to juggle this ball. I know if I give in to their demands or do what the government's making me do, just give them some figure that we can pay, that I'm committing business suicide. But the government, you know, this is what I really can't understand today. They had no concern about the business. They had no concern about the jobs that were still there and being created. And they had no concerns about the vendors or the suppliers to the company. They only cared about getting the people to be quiet. And they were in a complete mob mentality, escalating to over 200 people at this point in time. And it didn't matter about anything else but making them happy. 5 or 6 days into that, that's when it came to realization that I've got to pay to get myself out.
He did, about $300,000, plus another $100,000 to his Chinese lawyers and others who helped him. So after 12 years of based in South Florida and manufacturing in China, Starnes figures he's invested $5 million in equipment in China, plus paying over $150,000 a month in payroll to his Chinese workers. But not now. The plant in Beijing remains barricaded, and his business is held hostage. But his warehouse in Broward still has some activity as products made before he was taken captive make their way here.
You know, I'm struck as we sit in this relatively small, modest warehouse as far as warehouses go. Yeah. Here in Coral Springs, you've got all this equipment, all of these boxes of medical supplies that were manufactured in the Beijing region in China, shipped across the Pacific Ocean, through the Panama Canal, through the Gulf of Mexico, up into the port of Miami, trucked up here to Coral Springs just to go to the house of someone who may live in Palmetto Bay so that they can check their blood glucose level.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, isn't it, that all this goes on from Beijing. It comes all the way around the world so we can get to that customer, our customer, and then our customer takes it and sends it to their customer, which is their patient, that one or two boxes that they need on a quarterly basis.
Specialty Medical Supplies made about 100 million Lancets every month. 100 million every month. 8 out of 10 of those were sold here in the U.S. The company has about 6 months of inventory, and Starnes figures if he can't get that business going again soon, supplies of the devices could be hurt. Now, Starnes was pretty vocal during his ordeal in China. Officials, after all, allowed the media to talk with him while he was being held. And he says there was never any physical harm, but he did tell us something about how he was treated that he hadn't talked about before.
One of the things that I haven't really shared with anybody was that they kept saying that I was getting all the food and everything. They would bring in a case of Coke, and they'd bring a case of beer in, and then a beautiful plate of fruit. But right after that, they'd bring their photographers in, government photographers in, and then do the propaganda out there saying I'm being treated like a king.
So they'd bring in your food, bring in some fluids, snap a picture, and then take the food and the fluids away from you.
I think they left the Coke, and they left one plate of fruit. But they only brought that in so they could get their pictures, and they would publicize it all over themselves and put it out there and say, hey, he's living like a king. He's getting everything that he wants. It's all about keeping the common folk happy. And they did that. They just made us, me, my company, look like the bad guys, which was absolutely not the case at all. Been there for over 12 years. It's kind of sad.
You can hear the disappointment and disillusionment in Starnes' voice there. Now, he's still weighing his options as he is at his warehouse in Coral Springs. Either figure out a way to get back into his plant in China in Beijing, move some of the equipment to India, as was the original plan, and keep part of the business that makes sterile alcohol swabs in Beijing. That was all part of the original plan back in June. Or the other option, start entirely from scratch in India. Just write it off in China. Move to India. The option of bringing the work to Florida, not really an option, according to Starnes. He says his customers would not buy his products at a price necessary to charge if they were made in the United States. Still to come here on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN, two women, two companies, and the challenges of making their products here in South Florida. This is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. Join the conversation on the website at WLRN.org, on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Edwin Chamorro did asking, do Florida laws make it enticing to bring these jobs, manufacturing jobs, in and not get caught up in red tape? Regulation, of course, is a big part of manufacturing and a big concern of manufacturers here in South Florida. Food and beauty are a couple of things we take very seriously here. And for two relatively new local companies, making these products locally is a challenge.
My name is Allison Sokol. Specific Beauty is the name of our product line. The name of the company is Soma Bella Laboratories. So if you translate it, it's Body Beautiful in Greek and Italian. And we're currently sold on Home Shopping Network and online.
Allison Sokol may get national exposure for the skincare products company she co-founded with a dermatologist from the University of Miami. But she's found it difficult to make the products locally. Now, she's in the process of moving her manufacturing to South Florida from New Jersey, where she says it was much easier finding the resources she needed to get her products made.
Do you feel that you're welcomed as a manufacturer in South Florida like you perhaps were welcomed in New Jersey?
I mean, I'm a South Florida girl, so I feel much more comfortable in South Florida. I mean, my roots are here. I know a lot of people here. I know how to find out if someone isn't who they say they are just by asking someone I know. You know, I want to see the city grow like everyone else. I want to put my money into the city. It's important to me. I care a lot about it. My kids growing up here, my partner's kids are growing up here, and we care about the city. We care about the business, development down here. And I have to say, we're a women-owned company, and we really would like to see the women's side of it come together also down here.
Hi, I'm Leslie Kaplan. I'm co-founder of Batter Up. We do business under the brand The Piping Gourmets. We first started out with Ready Set Cupcake, and we are a line of all-natural, ready-made frozen cake batters and frostings.
Leslie Kaplan found a local manufacturer to make her frozen desserts here. Found it in Hialeah, but it wasn't easy.
Honestly, it was an enormous challenge. The biggest criteria that we had to meet was being and finding a co-packer that's HACCP certified, that's hazard analysis critical control points. Finding that in South Florida was just almost impossible for us. It's just a higher level of standard operating procedures for food manufacturing. So we were fortunate finally to find somebody in Hialeah that we could work with and grow with now.
Why was that level of certification, number one, important for you? And number two, why do you think it was difficult to find locally?
I think to begin with, it was hard to find locally because it's relatively new. Not everyone requires it. Not everyone requires it for all food items. So, you know, some of our products are dairy. So, you know, just to be sure beyond a reasonable doubt, Whole Foods, for example, requires that criteria. So, you know, it was important to us to be able to have Whole Foods as a retailer for us. So we wanted to meet that criteria. And why is it so difficult in South Florida? Because there's not a lot of manufacturing going on, you know, in the food industry.
Both Kaplan and Sokol are still hopeful about local manufacturing, but still both found navigating South Florida's relative small manufacturing industry difficult. They both have highly specialized products, sure, a skin treatment regimen for Sokol, a natural food products for Kaplan. And in the case of the cake batters and frostings, Kaplan has found it tough to even get certain ingredients here in South Florida.
The ingredients are all natural and unbleached flours. And again, because there's not a lot of food manufacturing going on in this category, I mean, you do have a lot of other bakeries around town, but they're not all natural. They don't adhere to the same standards that we do. The cost of materials in Florida are higher. And some of them don't come down here, believe it or not. There were other flours that we wanted and cocos that were just hard to get here. As time has gone by, the flours have been easier to get. You know, the costs, you know, they fluctuate, but, you know, we see the dips in that, and then they peak back up again a little. The cocoa that we use, literally, it comes from Brazil, but we have to get it through a source in Chicago. So it's a little odd to have to make that loop, but we do see things changing.
Kaplan's newest product will not come from South Florida. It will still be made in Florida, but she had to manufacture it in Central Florida in order to meet her standards and those of the grocery store chain, which will sell it.
You've got a new product, a frozen whoopie cake.
Whoopie pie.
A frozen whoopie pie. There it is. Gluten-free, dairy-free. Five different flavors in Whole Foods. More than 60 stores throughout the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast.
The Whoopie Pies are going to launch in Florida Whole Foods in August 2013, so that's just a few weeks from now, and we're working on getting distribution up the whole East Coast.
And these pies, you had to look for a manufacturer outside South Florida in order to meet the kinds of standards that you wanted and presumably that the retailer wanted.
Exactly, because our Whoopie Pies that are gluten-free, dairy-free, they're certified gluten-free. They're also certified vegan, certified kosher, and non-GMO. So that's a tall order to fill and still have your Whoopie Pies taste delicious. They don't even taste gluten-free. So we could not find anyone locally that could manufacture the Whoopie Pies to our specs.
All right, so the Whoopie Pies will be made in Central Florida. But that also gives Kaplan the advantage of geography. Her frozen pies will be closer to a distribution center from which they will be shipped out. Now, that speaks to another piece of the manufacturing puzzle. It isn't just making a product. It's all the other services a company needs. Research, develop, make, market, ship, and sell. Allison Sokol of Specific Beauty found that ready-made system in New Jersey for her and her business partner. They're still searching for it here.
She's a doctor from UM. I grew up down here. We really are looking to bring most of our manufacturing down to Florida, and there is a huge amount of resources for us to choose from. But the problem is that there's no place to go to find all these resources. You have to basically be searching for them. Different industries have, you know, a group of people saying, here you go. Here, these are the people you should use. You know, these are the people that are recommended. It's very difficult to find that here. That would be very helpful to have something like that so we didn't have to just sit there and Google and ask around like everyone else.
Is that partly because of the high quality necessary for the product, because of the chemistry involved, do you think?
I think that the reason it's so easily found in New Jersey is just because that seems to be where they'd all started out. But I think now, especially with Florida, with how much, you know, trade we do and you know, we're really in a good location, that being in New Jersey wouldn't necessarily be the best place for us to be if, you know, when we're going overseas and when we're shipping in South America, which our products would be great for. It would be nice to have it here, and the quality is just as good here, but it's finding that company that has that quality. There's no difference about manufacturing somewhere else versus here. It's really the company itself that's manufacturing.
Have you found yourself literally Googling beauty product manufacturer Miami?
Yeah, I have.
Brazilian cocoa by way of Chicago for a South Florida manufacturer, highlighting the challenges of making products here in our region. Still to come on the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN, a reluctant manufacturer. After moving to Florida from New York, a medical device company decides to make its own products, and sales have followed it to Pompano Beach. The Sunshine Economy here on WLRN, the conversation ongoing on the website, WLRN.org. You can be heard on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Now, manufacturing, as we've heard, is not a booming industry here in Florida, but that hasn't stopped some from trying to change that with a vote by the state legislature. Beginning next spring, manufacturing companies will be able to buy equipment in Florida without paying sales taxes on it. That means less revenue initially for the state, but WLRN Miami Herald reporter Gina Jordan tells us supporters think eliminating the sales tax will help boost the industry and create jobs in Florida.
Governor Rick Scott says 70% of businesses in Florida are exempt from paying the corporate income tax. And now the state is cutting taxes for manufacturers as a way to keep the economy growing. The governor wants to lure more companies like Danfoss Turbocore Compressors, an international manufacturing business that has its home base in Tallahassee. Nancy Stevens with the Manufacturers Association of Florida lobbied for the tax cut.
Not only do we think that it's important for the manufacturers in Florida, but it's important to send the message to the world that Florida is open for manufacturing business.
Stephen says her industry is the base for everything.
You would not be moving any goods on trucks or rail or ships if you did not have manufactured goods. So you have to make something to sell to keep all the other sectors strong.
The governor's office says this is where Florida lags behind other states. We're in the bottom 10 for manufacturing jobs. House Minority Leader Perry Thurston of Fort Lauderdale says the revenue that's lost by cutting the sales tax could be used for transportation and education issues.
To eliminate potential revenue to cover those needs without any type of justification or accountability is just wrong.
Thurston says incentive programs like this one don't require increased productivity or job creation. Tallahassee Representative Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda thinks the state offers too many corporate exemptions.
I think we need to go towards a level playing field for all businesses, and we keep picking winners and losers, and I just get a little concerned about that.
Like Thurston and all of the other Democrats in the House, she voted against the tax cut.
I think people were looking at the fact that, you know, do we really need another tax exemption for corporations, especially when the state needs the revenue?
The Department of Economic Opportunity estimates the tax cut will cost the state up to $115 million in revenue, while local governments could lose up to $26 million a year. Florida State University economics professor Randall Holcomb says this issue epitomizes a common political debate in Tallahassee.
I think there sometimes is some, maybe I would call it an anti-business sentiment, or just the idea that, hey, businesses can afford to pay those taxes. Individuals are struggling, so let's put the taxes on the business.
Holcomb agrees with the decision to temporarily drop the tax, but not for the reason most might think.
It eliminates the double tax on manufacturing equipment. When the equipment's bought, you pay the sales tax. Then when whatever is produced is sold, the sales tax is paid again. It's a tax on top of a tax. And also, I don't think it's a bad idea to try to cut business taxes to attract business to Florida.
The legislature approved the tax cut, and Governor Scott signed the bill into law last May. It goes into effect next spring and will sunset after 3 years unless lawmakers extend it. I'm Gina Jordan in Tallahassee.
Now, manufacturers big and small may be able to benefit from that temporary sales tax elimination, regardless if they're a household name. New Wave Surgical is not a household name in the manufacturing business. In fact, it didn't even want to be a manufacturer. It wanted to be a designer. The company is now based in Pompano Beach, and it is now a medical device manufacturer. Here's the Miami Herald's Karen Rundlett.
Meet inventor, manufacturer, and the boss, El Jefe, Ricardo Alexander Gomez, who goes by Alex. His offices are in Pompano Beach.
We have a little device that's operated by batteries, and it's used in surgery.
Gomez's company is called New Wave Surgical. They make and sell a product called D-Help. Basically, it's a device that helps doctors during surgery, specifically laparoscopic surgery, where small video cameras are used.
It eliminates fogging, helps clean the lens to help surgeons see better during laparoscopic surgery.
You actually develop, design, manufacture, and sell the product.
Yeah, it's unique. When we went into it, we did not want to be a manufacturer since we were developing a product and it's hard enough to sell it into surgery.
Hear that? He did not want to be a manufacturer. At first, anyway, just too hard.
We are competing with other states and other countries.
That's Governor Rick Scott. He's been pushing hard to bring more manufacturing to Florida this year, arguing the state clearly has location on its side.
For whether it's engineering or whether it's building things, manufacturing, we're competing every day.
Governor Scott and state lawmakers also passed a new law that eliminates sales tax on manufacturing equipment purchases. That's serious savings for companies trying to grow and keep costs down. Remember our Pompano Beach inventor, Alex Gomez? He knows what lowering costs can do for the growth of a business. In the case of New Wave Surgical, it meant survival. And finally, today, profits. When the company was based in New York, they outsourced the manufacturing and barely made a profit.
If we wanted to stay in operation, we needed to figure a way of making the device and making it for a lower cost. And that's sort of what kind of pushed us into the manufacturing side.
That's when they moved to Broward and added manufacturing to the profile. Prudy Gomez is VP of Manufacturing.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
He took me on a tour of the operation.
So if you guys remember,
downstairs,
we had the completed piece. Now it goes to our controlled area. In our controlled area...
It's not the noisiest place. You don't see a lot of large machines. Most employees on the line work with their hands and small tools in what's called a clean room. I was asked to wear surgical scrubs over my clothes, my shoes, my hair. Now, New Wave Surgical was launched during the recession, 2007. In the last 3 years, they've more than quadrupled their employee count by adding manufacturing assemblers and supervisors. Gomez says revenue is up 1,900%.
So the manufacturing was sort of a forced event, but it turned out to be a blessing.
Something else that's very interesting that I wanted to mention about Alex Gomez and his D-Help invention. He actually went to med school and didn't finish because he came up with this idea. He wanted to invent D-Help, and he went on to manufacture it. From the WLRN Miami Herald newsroom, for the Sunshine Economy, I'm Karen Rundlett.
A laparoscopic surgical device made right here in South Florida in the Sunshine Economy. Still to come on our program, despite the success of New Wave Surgical, a focus on manufacturing jobs from the White House to the Florida State House, local officials may not be rolling out the welcome mat for manufacturing.
You don't see the economic development agencies pursuing manufacturing with as much effort as they do service providers.
This is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Politicians like to talk up manufacturing jobs. We hear it all the time. In fact, just last week in Jacksonville, President Obama hit upon a familiar refrain about the industry.
I'm here today to specifically talk about the cornerstone, the essence of middle-class security, and that's a good job in growth industries. We've got to help more manufacturers bring more jobs back to America. We've got to keep creating good jobs in manufacturing.
Last month, Governor Scott was in Paris, France, drumming up jobs for Florida, including manufacturing jobs. But while federal and state officials consistently use manufacturing employment as an important economic metric, local officials here in South Florida may be less focused on the general manufacturing industry. Doug Hanks is a business reporter for the Miami Herald.
The numbers suggest that manufacturing is either bottomed out or is maybe having a teeny little bit of a bounce back from a bottom, but it's been on a horrible slump during good times and bad, particularly in Miami-Dade County. It's about half the size it was in 2000, and it's always vying with construction and local government for the top job losses. Now, that's flattened out this year, but the numbers don't look good.
President Obama talks about manufacturing as key for the economic recovery continuing. Governor Scott certainly mentioned it and pushed hard for it during this legislative session and got a tax break for manufactured equipment. What about the local leaders? Is there an acknowledgement of an importance of trying to grow manufacturing, or have they turned their back on it?
I wouldn't say they've turned their back on it, but they do see lower hanging fruit when it comes to recruiting companies. And what you may see with Florida and the tax break is just a defensive move to try to keep what's there. And there are interesting pockets of manufacturing. As you know, blackberries are made in Broward County. And I have a story on the company up near Fort Lauderdale that makes bikes for Google.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this huge operation. But in general, you don't see the economic development agencies pursuing manufacturing with as much effort as they do service providers, like in the financial services, or et cetera.
Is that because there's very little kind of historic legacy manufacturing base here? Or is it a matter of the fact that Florida, it's difficult to be competitive in that kind of industry to attract the jobs here?
Well, I think it is such a competitive field, and it's just such an uphill battle. You know, how do you combat the cheap labor overseas? I mean, you're hearing some arguments for it. Tax breaks, obviously, a big part of that. Medical manufacturing, South Florida does have a little bit of momentum there, a little bit of history, and so you do see pockets of that with drug production, medical device, et cetera. But in general, that just really is, manufacturing is not what you see on the radar screen of the economic development agencies as much as other fields.
And to the detriment of the local economy, in your opinion?
Well, listen, when you see the numbers, when you see manufacturing is about 3% of the workforce, is it worth going on that uphill battle? And what even President Obama says, this is uphill. And Steve Jobs famously told him those jobs are not coming back, right. The iPhone
but
making
yet,
job.
But yet Apple did decide to bring Mac manufacturing back to the United States beginning this year.
They did. And these stories are great anecdotes, and you're always going to be able to find pockets of encouraging information. But in general, when you look at those figures, it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult. I mean, in industry-wide throughout the United States, manufacturing, the renaissance that had been reported just 18 months ago or 24 months ago really has failed to materialize nationally.
It is. And one advantage you hear is that with technology, it is getting cheaper to make goods in the United States because you don't need as many workers.
Right.
And so that is going to may work in favor of the economy, probably is not going to work in favor of job seekers.
So what do you say to those critics that say you've got to be able to have a stable manufacturing base in order to have a stable and growing jobs base? Those jobs of manufacturing traditionally are better paying, longer lasting, and more sustainable.
They're definitely better paying. They don't require as much of an education investment as you would for a job that probably pays as well in financial services or professional services. And those have really gotten hammered in the housing boom. So you can see why it's on the wish list of economic planners, et cetera. It's just tough to combat the global forces working against it.
Even with no income tax and plenty of sunshine and accessibility to Latin America, trade routes all through South Florida, still difficult to crack that manufacturing nut in a big way.
It definitely is. Central Florida has that too.
Yeah.
You know, and we compete with them as well. So it's tough, but, you know, if this was easy, you wouldn't be doing a great big show on it.
Everybody would be doing it. Doug Hanks, along with us, covers business throughout South Florida for the Miami Herald.
And you heard Doug correctly. BlackBerries, those mobile devices in South Florida. The maker, a Canadian company, Research in Motion, has an operation in Sunrise in Broward County, employing a few hundred people. All right, coming up next Monday, right here on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN, Dress for Success. It's the fashion industry in our region in South Florida. Now, we want you to participate in putting this program together. And you have to see fashion, of course. Tough to do on the radio, but we can do it with social media. So tweet us pictures of what you think South Florida fashion looks like. Our handle on Twitter is at WLRN. Be sure to use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. From Parrot Heads in Key West, platform heels on Miami Beach in the sand. We've got Palm Beach fashion, of course. What is South Florida fashion? How much do you spend on fashion? And can the industry build on its recent successes here? Part of the manufacturing story here in South Florida is the renaissance of fashion manufacturing here in South Florida. So tweet us all of your fashion investments, fashion advice for yourself and for others. Give us those pictures on Twitter at WLRN. Be sure to use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. This is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. We're talking about making manufacturing work, all this program right here on the Sunshine Economy. Finally, manufacturing is the industry of making something tangible, making something real and substantial. It's no longer confined to the factory floor these days in the 21st century with quitting time at 5 o'clock. Technology and globalization has led to a more dynamic economy, even if traditional manufacturing has diminished. Thanks for listening.